necesitamos una prueba de nivel gratuita para que lo tengas mucho más claro. Y sin ningún tipo de compromiso, infórmate ya en el 911335833.
Estar en medio. ¿Qué significa estar en medio? Pues no estar en ningún sitio concreto, ni bueno ni malo, ser un soso, o lo que es peor, molestar. Estar en medio y no dejar ver una peli, estar en medio de dos personas. Vamos, que eso del medio no mola. Pues con el inglés pasa lo mismo. Ese famoso nivel intermedio de inglés no sirve para nada. Es ni fu ni fa, incluso molesto. Por eso, un nivel de inglés intermedio no te va a ayudar a mejorar en tu carrera profesional. Así que ya es hora de cambiar.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Everybody, hi there. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it's Monday. It is Monday afternoon. I thank you for tuning in today, for deciding to invest some time with your English, with myself and with Tino here on the Drive Time program on this Monday afternoon. And we got a nice show for you today. We're going to talk about some trending news in the United States. There's been some controversy about visiting the White House. They have a tradition there where sports teams, when you win a championship, you get invited to the White House. And there's been some controversy about certain athletes, and in the NFL, the National Football League, players not standing for the national anthem, the himno nacional. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. And also what it means in terms of these visits to the White House. And it's become controversial in the last couple of days. And I'll give you this story on the show today. We also have our history section, and we'll look at Formula One. It was today in 2004 that the Formula One racetrack in Shanghai opened, spreading Formula One racing to Asia. And well, to China for the first time. Also, Michael Douglas was born on this day in 1944. We'll have a look at the life of actor Michael Douglas and the Beatles cartoon. The Beatles had a cartoon. Did you know that? The Beatles had a cartoon that made its debut on this day in 1965. In 1965. Wow. What's that? 52 years ago today. And that will lead us into a discussion of the Beatles, but also Paul McCartney. And there's a reason why we'll talk about his other band called Wings. Paul McCartney and Wings. And we'll look at that in our music section. And also some facts today about the origins of food, certain types of food. Pizza. Who invented pizza? And when and where? Well, you can find out a little bit later on in the show. Let's get things started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Gracias. Ya te llamaremos.
Ya te llamaremos.
Bueno, ya te llamaremos.
Acaba ya con la pesadilla de todas las entrevistas de trabajo y mejora definitivamente tu nivel de inglés profesional con el Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Ameno, exigente y a tiempo completo. 1000 horas intensivas en las que tendrás que esforzarte. Por eso funciona. Vence al Ya te llamaremos con Vaughan. Apúntate. Llama ahora al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Vamos, vamos.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle.
Kyle Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Drive Time program. Thanks for tuning in. It's Monday. I had a nice weekend. I attended a wedding on Saturday for our good friend Juan Solo. He got married. He tied the knot. He got married on Sunday. Congratulations to Juan and his wife, Montse. Very nice wedding. We had a good time. A few familiar Vaughn faces at the wedding as well. And he's a guy who loves Star Wars so much. Well, he loves Star Wars so much that he changed his name to Juan Solo. So obviously, you've got to have a certain degree of love for Star Wars to do that. But also, he got led down the aisle, by Boba Fett. So if you know Star Wars, you'll know Boba Fett. The Boba Fett character, who's a bounty hunter. And a bounty hunter is one of these guys that goes out and they capture people for money. So he was a bounty hunter. And anyway, there was a person dressed as Boba Fett from Star Wars. And in the wedding, exactly. And took Juan Solo down the aisle to his bride-to-be. And anyway, congratulations to Juan on his wedding. It was a very nice day indeed. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and get things started with an interactive section? How about today's Twitter translation?
Twitter translation.
Well, that's right. It is time for the Twitter translation. And the way this works, I'm going to give a sentence, of course, in Spanish, in Español. Y tú desde casa en inglés. Of course, yes, you can write in and tell me how to say the following. Now, Tino, how can people participate on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller, o lo que viene siendo IM Kilemillar.
O lo que viene siendo, claro, yes, o lo que es lo mismo. I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. You can write in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? ¿Estaban dormidos cuando entramos? Estaban dormidos. How would you say that in English? Write in. Let me know on Twitter. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. My gosh, we have a lot of people writing already, participating. And while you think about that, let's go ahead into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
All right. It is time for the warm-up, Jim. We're going to try a few sentences of translation. And you can, of course, say them out loud en voz alta at home. All right. Number one, no se ha tomado una decisión. A decision hasn't been made. So this is the passive, right? I didn't make a decision. You didn't make a decision. The boss didn't make a decision. A decision hasn't been made. A decision hasn't been made. Number two. No quiero que digas nada. I don't want you to say anything. No quiero que digas nada. I don't want you to say anything. Number three, hay varios casos. There are several cases. Hay varios casos, ¿sí? There are several cases. There are several cases. Number four. ¿Cuánto tiempo dura el curso? How long does the course last? ¿Cuánto tiempo dura el curso? Hey, how long does the course last? How long does it last? ¿Cuánto tiempo dura? It lasts. Now remember, the subject here, with the verb to last, the subject is it. Subject is it. How long does it last? ¿Cuánto tiempo dura la clase, el curso, lo que sea? How long does the class last? How long does the class last? Okay. Number five. Me duele la muela. I have a toothache. La muela. Now, yeah, we say in English a toothache. Toothache. To ache is to have pain, to have dull pain. You have sharp pain and dull pain. I talked about this last week. Like a paper cut, it's very sharp. It's a sharp pain. Ow, it hurts. It's a sharp pain. And then a dull pain is an ache, like my back aches. Like I didn't, you know, I slept in a strange position last night. Or I actually do have, a bad back. And every once in a while, I get a backache. I wake up in the middle of the night with my back sore.
Ooh.
It's what I say exactly. I go, oh, ooh, my back is sore. I have a backache. But here I have a toothache. Me duele la muela. Number six, me duele la garganta. I have a sore throat. Me duele la garganta. I have a sore throat. Number seven, cuidado. Look out. Look out, right? Look out. You could also say, watch out. Hey, watch out. Look out. Cuidado.
Cuidado.
Claro. Cuidado. Okay. Number eight. Hago las tareas domésticas. I do the housework. I do the housework. Tino, do you do the housework? Las tareas domésticas. Hay que hacerlas. I do the housework. The housework. The housework. Okay, number four. Number nine, everybody. Number nine. ¿Sabe ella cuando sale el tren? Does she know when the train leaves? Hey, does she know when the train leaves?
I'm still waiting.
Exactly. She's down there waiting. She doesn't know when it leaves. Okay. ¿Quién sabe dónde vive el fontanero? Who knows where the plumber lives? Who knows? ¿Quién sabe? Who knows? I don't know. Who knows where the plumber lives? The plumber. Plumber. We don't say plumber. Plumber? No. Plumber. The plumber. Who knows where the plumber... I don't know where he lives. Who knows? ¿Quién sabe? Who knows where the plumber lives? All right. Let's do another one, Tino. Let's do a bonus, right? Esta suciedad no se puede... Bueno, esta suciedad no puede quitarse. This dirt can't be removed. This dirt can't be removed. It can't. This dirt can't be removed. Es la suciedad. All right, there you go. My gosh, we got a lot of people writing in on Twitter, participating in our Twitter translation. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Estaban dormidos cuando entramos. We're going to take a break, everybody. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with plenty more. So whatever you do, just stay right there. I'll be right back.
Hello, good morning.
A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas. Más radio, más Vaughan, mucho más Richard Vaughan Live.
Me licencié hace 4 años en la universidad. Al año hice un máster, después otro. Además estoy acabando el doctorado. Pero ayer no pasé un proceso de selección por no saber inglés.
¿Te suena esta historia? Ocurre todos los días. El inglés es fundamental para progresar en tu vida laboral en todos los sectores. ¿A qué esperas para aprender inglés de una vez por todas?
Máster en inglés profesional Vaughan, tu solución definitiva.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Do you Vaughan?
Trending Topics.
All right, everybody. Trending topic. Let's see what people are talking about today in the United States. There's been a lot of discussion about athletes' reaction to President Donald Trump. Now, why should we really care about athletes and what they think about the president? I've never really understood this, you know, some sort of political reaction or political event. Oh, what's, you know, what does, you know, some singer, what does Paul McCartney think? Or what does, you know, Bruce Springsteen think? It doesn't really matter. The same with athletes. What does LeBron James think of the president? Who cares? You know, they're athletes. It shouldn't matter. But there's been a big controversy in the NFL, the National Football League, as players, the latest thing is players are feeling that they do not want to stand for the national anthem. So it's typical in North American sports to play the national anthem, el himno nacional. We don't say the national hymn. A hymn in English is like in church. But the himno nacional, we call it the national anthem. And they play the national anthem at the start of games. And last year, famously, an NFL quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, that's his name, I believe, he refused to stand for the national anthem. And he got in all kinds of trouble. Right? They said, oh, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. And they made an example out of him. But now, let's see here. Last week, about 200 NFL players sat or they knelt or raised their fist in defiance, on Sunday, just yesterday. A week earlier, just 6 players protested. Now, most NFL players held arms with teammates and so on to show solidarity. And some teams, such as the Pittsburgh Steelers, stayed off the field until the anthem was played. So they didn't even want to go onto the field, so they didn't have to deal with it, basically. But now they have this issue with teams being invited to the White House. And some teams are saying, look, I don't want to go to the White House. But yesterday, the hockey team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are a hockey team who won the Stanley Cup, the championship for the National Hockey League, they decided that they would go. And this decision included their captain, Sidney Crosby. So Sidney Crosby, who, by the way, is from my home province. So Sidney Crosby said, you know what? I'm going. I'm going to go to the White House. So he agreed. So Crosby said, I support it. And he says, it's a great honor for us to be invited there, he said. Now, President Donald Trump insisted on Sunday that his opponents to, he had opposition to players kneeling during the national anthem. And he says, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with respect for our country and respect for our flag. So, interesting. It's interesting to see. People are kind of taking sides on this. It's becoming a big issue. It's becoming controversial as people like athletes and musicians as well. make statements and then people think more or less of a musician or of an athlete according to their political views. And I think the whole thing is kind of ridiculous. I don't see what politics should have to do with sports or what sports should have to do with politics. But anyway, it's in the news and a lot of people are talking about that today after the weekend, the events in the NFL and the decision from the Pittsburgh Penguin hockey team to visit the White House. So we'll see how all this turns out. Anyway, interesting stuff. Okay, we're going to push on, everybody. Why don't we take a look at a phrasal verb? How about something a bit didactic for you? How about today's phrasal verb of the day?
Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
That's right. It is time for the Drive Time Phrasal Verb. Our phrasal verb today is to fill in. Fill in, que es rellenar. For example, fill in un hueco, fill in a space, fill in a hole, fill in a gap. All right? Fill in the gaps. Fill in the blanks. So if you have a type of question, it can be fill in the blanks, a type of test question. Fill in the blanks. Now, we also have to fill in for someone, which is to substitute for someone. So if Tino is ill tomorrow, maybe Juanjo would fill in for him. So to fill in, to substitute for someone, to fill in for someone. All right? To fill in for someone. So there you go. So it has kind of two meanings. You can fill in, rellenar. And then you can have to fill in to substitute for someone as well. Now, we also have the phrasal verb to fill out, which is rellenar, but we fill out a form. So if you have un formulario, no? You say fill in the form or fill out the form, filling in all the information. So to fill out the form, you have to fill in your name, fill in your age, fill in your telephone number. So you fill in the information to fill out, like to complete the form. So they are very similar but different phrasal verbs. Okay. How about why don't we do our expression? How about that, Tino? How about today's expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
Our expression today is fat chance. Fat chance of that happening. If we say fat chance, it means that something is very unlikely. So it's a sarcastic comment to say, fat chance of that happening. Like, what are the odds of me moving to Nigeria? Well, fat chance of that happening. It's not going to happen. So it refers to something that's very unlikely. So it's kind of It's similar to the expression, like a slim chance. It's interesting. We have slim chance and fat chance, but both of them relate to having a small probability of something occurring. Like winning the lottery. You know, you could buy tickets for the Christmas lottery this Christmas, but there's a very slim chance of winning. But fat chance is more of a sarcastic comment, like, yeah, right. That's not going to happen. And the origins of this expression aren't clear. I don't know what they are, at least. But the use of the word fat is likely sort of a sarcastic version of slim chance. But, so kind of an interesting little expression there. All right, I want to remind everybody that we have our question on Twitter. We have our Twitter translation today. Estaban dormidos cuando entramos. And we have a lot of people writing in, including Julian, who writes in from Bogota, from Colombia. And he gives the answer, but I'm not going to give it out yet. I'm not going to give the answer yet. I'm going to wait a little while. We'll have a look at that in the second half hour of today's program. Why don't we go ahead with a challenge? How about everybody likes a good challenge, right, Tino? Tino enjoys a good challenge. Yeah. Why don't we go ahead with today's interrogative challenge?
Interrogative challenge.
All right, everybody, the interrogative challenge. I'm going to give you the answer. Yo la respuesta y tú luego la pregunta. I know it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, right? It sounds strange, but I'm going to give you first the answer, and then you can give me the question en voz alta, no? Out loud, at home, right? Of course. Claro. Okay, I know you're excited. Okay, this is good. Okay, number one. I've been here for 10 days. How long have you been here? 10 days. I've been here for 10 days. Okay, number two. He's been seeing her for 2 months. How long has he been seeing her? How long has he been seeing her? Okay. Very good. Number three. I'm going to Bigo next week. Where are you going next week? Yeah, I'm going to Vigo. It's true, I am actually going to Vigo. I haven't told Tino yet, but I'm going to Vigo next week. It's true. Yeah, number four. This book is mine. Whose book is this? Hey, whose book is this? It's mine. It's mine. Number five. I used a fire extinguisher to put out the fire. What did you use to put out the fire? Fire extinguisher. Number six. Yes, I've been to Rome. Have you ever been to Rome? Have you ever been to? Been to. Have you ever been to Rome? Yes, I've been to Rome. Number seven. There have been two meetings so far today. How many meetings have there been so far today? Two. Number eight. The trial lasted 3 weeks. How long did the trial last? How long did it last? Remember, it lasts. It lasted. How long did it last? Number nine. I took Bill's umbrella. Whose umbrella did you take? Hey, whose umbrella did you take? I took Bill's. Bill's umbrella. Okay, number 10. It started raining 10 minutes ago. When did it start raining? Hey, when did it start raining? Oh, about 10 minutes ago. All right, there you go. Okay. I know it's not easy. I know it's a challenge, but I encourage you to look for that part of the show in our podcast at evox.com. You can find hundreds of episodes of the Drive Time program there, and you can practice with that section over and over until you get it right, until you gain fluency with the interrogative form. It's the best exercise I know. All right, we're going to take a short break. I'll be back in about 2 minutes with the second half hour, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1,000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Do you Vaughan?
Estar en medio. ¿Qué significa estar en medio? Pues no estar en ningún sitio concreto, ni bueno ni malo, ser un soso, o lo que es peor, molestar. Estar en medio y no dejar ver una peli. Estar en medio de dos personas. Vamos, que eso del medio no mola. Pues con el inglés pasa lo mismo. Ese famoso nivel intermedio de inglés no sirve para nada. da. Es ni fu ni fa, incluso molesto. Por eso, un nivel de inglés intermedio no te va a ayudar a mejorar en tu carrera profesional. Así que ya es hora de cambiar.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan? Gracias, ya te llamaremos.
Ya te llamaremos.
Bueno, ya te llamaremos.
Acaba ya con la pesadilla de todas las entrevistas de trabajo y mejora definitivamente tu nivel de inglés profesional con el Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Ameno, exigente y a tiempo completo. 1000 horas intensivas en las que tendrás que esforzarte. Por eso funciona. Vence al Ya te llamaremos con Vaughan. Apúntate. Llama ahora al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Do you Vaughan?
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Friends, we're back, and it is time for the second half hour of our Drive Time show. Welcome back. I was here all along. I hope, or thank you for tuning in, for staying with us today. Why don't we have a look at history? I'm talking about this day. It's the 25th of September today in history.
Today in history.
Notice how he says there, history. We don't say history. History. Today in history. Today in history. Da-da. History. Two syllables, typically. Today in 2004, the Formula One racetrack in Shanghai opened. Right, ever since the days of, ever since Fernando Alonso, Formula One has been quite popular in Spain. And it was this day in 2004 that Chinese officials gather at the brand new Shanghai International Circuit racetrack in anticipation of the next day's inaugural Formula One Chinese Grand Prix. Formula One racing was traditionally a European sport, really. You don't see too much of it in North America. You do have, well, there in Montreal has a track, the Gilles Villeneuve. And you do see it sometimes, but it's more of a European thing. But the builders and boosters, right, the promoters of the state-sponsored Shanghai track, hope that they would help the sport catch on in Asia, to catch on to, right, to gain popularity in Asia. In particular, they hope that their high-tech raceway would draw attention and investment to the Chinese auto industry, which was kind of suffering at the time. In the year the Shanghai track opened, there were only 10 million cars for the country's 1.3 billion people. That's crazy. Only 10 million cars in China in 2004. Now, Formula One racing, of course, drivers race around a specially designed track or a circuit built to resemble twisting, irregular city streets. Is sort of the offspring. It's an adaptation of the European Grand Prix motor racing. which was almost a century-old sport, and there drivers would drive from one town to the next on public roads. And as Grand Prix, spelled P-R-I-X, pricks, but pre-Grand Prix, racing grew more popular, they also grew more dangerous to racers, spectators, and especially the drivers who happened to be on the roads, ordinary drivers. So imagine you have a race going on from one town to another, and the roads weren't necessarily blocked. People would be racing through these roads, and there could be someone get onto the road, a normal driver. So soon race organizers decide to close the roads on the day of the event and establish fixed traffic rules. This was a long time ago. Now back in 1947, Grand Prix officials created the Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile, which became the national governing authority of championship races. Now, its rules would become known as the Formula One. Now, today there are 17 Formula One races every year. Right? Of course, they have a track in Spain. They have races in Spain, in Monaco, Belgium, Italy, Australia, Malaysia, Canada, Brazil, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. Sorry, not... I believe Dubai. And, of course, China. Shanghai's International Circuit Raceway was designed to help China cash in, right, to make money, to profit from, to benefit from, to cash in on the skyrocketing... to skyrocket, to do very well, to go very high. The skyrocketing popularity of Formula One competitions. The track in China is 3.3 miles long, two long straightaways, una recta, right, a straightaway, and 16 corners. It costs $300 million in public money, so about $100 million per mile of track. And it can seat 200,000 spectators. And the day after the raceway opened, about 150,000 people filled the stands at the Brazilian driver Rubén Barrichello won the inaugural race back then. Yeah, I'm not an expert in this, but it is a fun sport to watch. I do enjoy watching it. Do you like watching Formula One, Tino? Tino says, yeah, not bad. De vez en cuando, right? Sometimes. Yeah, it's not bad. All right, let's go back 60 years before that. 60 years before the Formula One track opened, 1944. And we have Michael Douglas, actor Michael Douglas being born. And he'd become one of Hollywood's A-list stars, an A-lister, right? Top caliber, top quality, top of the line. A-list stars in the 80s. He was in big films, what you call blockbuster films. A blockbuster is a film like taquillazo, I guess you say, right? It sells a lot. Like Wall Street, Fatal Attraction as well. He was born in New Jersey. And he was the son of Academy Award-winning actor Kirk Douglas, whose best-known films include Spartacus, The Bad and the Beautiful, and others. Michael Douglas shares his birthday with his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, who was born 25 years earlier in 1969. Now, Douglas made his feature film debut in Hail Zero in 1969. And he rose to fame playing a police inspector on the TV series The Streets of San Francisco from 1972 to 76. And he had his first big movie success working not in front of the camera, but behind the camera as producer. In 1975, the film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Of course, with Jack Nicholson as the inmate at a mental institution. And the film was, it would go on to win five Academy Awards, right? In five different categories: Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Louise Fletcher, Best Screenplay, Best Director, Now, among Michael Douglas's other movie credits in the 1970s was The China Syndrome, which he produced and co-starred in with Jane Fonda and Jack Lemmon. In the 80s, he had a string of blockbusters, right? Very popular films, including Romancing the Stone in 1984. And, he would go on later to star in Oliver Stone's Wall Street. And in the 90s, he was in Basic Instinct in 1992, Disclosure, The American President, Traffic, Wonder Boys. A very complete career. And in 2010, it was announced that Douglas was beginning treatment for advanced stages of cancer of the throat. And he confirmed this while on the David Letterman show in August of 2010. So there you go. Born on this day, Michael Douglas, on this day in 1944. Now, we also have the Beatles cartoon. Not everybody knows this, but the Beatles had a cartoon. Did you know that, Tino? The Beatles had a cartoon which made its debut, which premiered on this day in 1965 on ABC television in the U.S. And the first episode was called I Want to Hold Your Hand. I want to hold your hand, right there after the song. In the episode, which, by the way, I shared a link to it on Twitter today. If you're a Twitter follower of mine, you can see what I'm talking about. And the group explores the ocean floor. And there's some sort of, I don't know, it's a bit abstract. It's kind of a weird plot. But it was a Saturday morning cartoon that became an instant hit for the network. A few years before, the song We All Live in a Yellow Submarine, the British rockers were first put into animation in the series, and it used the music of the Beatles to sort of as the base for each episode. And each episode centered around a completely made-up adventures of the Beatles, so they were not based on reality. And they did not voice them either, though the characters, the voices were not the actual Beatles. They had a guy from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, which is an old cartoon, Rocky and Bullwinkle, which featured Boris Badenov from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, and another actor, Paul Frees, who voiced the character of John Lennon and George Harrison. And it aired from 65 to 67 in its original run. And then it was on air on reruns until 1969. They had a total of 39 episodes. And apparently the band didn't necessarily like it too much, but they didn't really mind it either. Some of them didn't like it, but apparently, let's see. Yeah, Ringo Starr said it was bad, but it made it funny. You get a kick, and actually John Lennon said he got a blast out of it, out of watching it. So he got a kick out of it. He means he found it amusing. So to get a kick out of something, to get a charge out of something, to get a blast out of something, it means to find something entertaining, to find something amusing or funny. Anyway, speaking of the Beatles, we have Paul McCartney, who played a very big charity concert. Now, after the Beatles, Paul McCartney started a band called Wings. And he played a charity concert on this day in Venice to raise funds for the city. And it was a big success. But they brought in huge equipment for the stage and all that, to move the stage around. And the square in Venice, the main square where they hosted the concert, sustained significant damage. And so the money that they raised actually was less than the money required to repair the square after this charity concert that Paul McCartney played on this day back in 1976. So lots going on this day in the world of music and related to the Beatles as well. We're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back and we'll look at a song by Paul McCartney, the album Band on the Run, which would come out after the Beatles and would be one of, well, it would be Paul McCartney's biggest solo album. And the song of the same name was an interesting one. And the recording process was quite interesting. I'll tell you about that right after this.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1,000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Do you Vaughan?
Vaughan Empresas es mucho más que clases de inglés para empresas.
Mucho más.
Tenemos varios tipos de cursos a vuestra disposición, como nuestros cursos In Company, con profesores que se desplazan a vuestra empresa para dar allí las clases en el horario que acordéis con ellos.
Nuestras clases online y telefónicas con varios niveles y temáticas disponibles.
Nuestros seminarios de inglés de negocios, Business Skills, ideales para mejorar la capacidad de comunicación en el ámbito laboral.
O nuestros programas de inmersión intensiva en inglés dentro de España y en el extranjero.
Y por supuesto, nuestro Executive Master en Inglés Profesional, nuestro producto estrella del que los empleados de tu empresa saldrán completamente preparados para usar el inglés en el trabajo.
¿Buscas un curso que se adapte a las necesidades de los empleados? Entonces buscas Vaughan Empresas.
Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5831 o en grupovaughan.com. ¿Do you Vaughan?
It's in the music.
It's in the music. Well, Paul McCartney, of course, everybody knows him from his time in the Beatles, but the Beatles actually had a relatively short career. By 1970 or 71, I guess, they were done. And the musicians, for the most part, would go on to record other things. Actually, they all did. They would all go on to do other projects. And Paul McCartney's main act early on after the Beatles was Wings, Paul McCartney and Wings. And they put out a couple records in the early 70s before 1975. And the album from 1973 called Band on the Run was the third studio album. Came out in December of 73. And it was the fifth album by Paul McCartney since his departure from the Beatles in 1970. So in the first 3 years, he put out five albums. And sales originally were quite modest, let's say. But he did achieve success thanks to the singles Jet and the title track Band on the Run. And after time, it would sort of build momentum. And it became the top-selling studio album of 1974 in the UK and in Australia as well. And it also sort of revitalized Paul McCartney's standing. So it made people realize, okay, this guy can do more than just be a member of the Beatles. It's his most successful album and most celebrated record of his era after the Beatles. And the interesting thing about this record is that it was recorded, well, one of the interesting things anyways, recorded in Nigeria, in Africa. Paul McCartney decided he wanted to do something different. So he got on a plane with his wife, and they went to Africa to make the record. And not the whole band was, the band wasn't enthusiastic about it. So the drummer, just before, in fact, one day before leaving, the drummer, Danny Sewell, quit the band. And Henry McCullough, who was the guitarist, left the group as well. He said, at least he said, I'm not going to Nigeria. So they didn't have any time to recruit replacements. So he went into the studio. McCartney went into the studio with just his wife, Linda, and Denny Lane, the other band member. And so McCartney himself would play drums on the record and a lot of the lead guitar and the bass. And Paul McCartney is quite a good drummer. He's actually recorded drums. If you're a modern rock fan, he actually played the drums on one song on the last Foo Fighters album. Did you know that, Tino? Paul McCartney plays the drums on one song on the Foo Fighters album. Yeah, crazy story there. But it's true. But he's a pretty good drummer. But as maybe you could imagine, the studio in Nigeria wasn't all that great. So this guy's used to playing with the Beatles, recording in the best studios in the world, and he arrives in Lagos, Nigeria, and he found the studio to be substandard. It was below standards.
Eso lo que hay.
Yeah, exactly. Es lo que hay. You arrive to Nigeria and you say, well, I want the best studio in Lagos. And, well, there just wasn't a great studio. Also, the McCartneys were robbed. And there was a bag that had some song lyrics and recordings. Some of the early recordings from the session was taken. So they did most of the album, but then they finally went back to England and they did some final overdubs and a little bit more recording in London, in a studio in London, to finish up the record. And it would go on to become a hit record. Like I said, initially a little bit slow, but through 1974, gained popularity and went on to become Paul McCartney's best solo record, or most acclaimed solo record. So the song itself, Band on the Run, is actually a critique on drug laws that criminalized him and some of his friends, including other bands on the run, like the Eagles and the Birds. He said, we're not criminals. We'd just rather do this than hit the booze. So he said, we'd rather do some drugs, you know, marijuana and so on, rather than drink, said Paul McCartney. So he combined pieces of different songs to make this one. It was kind of like the way the Beatles worked on Sgt. Pepper and also the Abbey Road album, where they had different little pieces of songs taped together, stuck together. You can notice that a lot on this song, Band on the Run. There's a slow part at the start and then it speeds up. And during lengthy meetings with executives at the Beatles, Apple Records, George Harrison complained. He says, if I ever get out of this house, McCartney remembered the line. He said, if I ever get out of this house, blah, 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 something, he was complaining during recording with the Beatles. And McCartney remembered that line and he stuck it into this song. Now, McCartney recorded the album, like I said, in Nigeria. And he said later, he says, I was on drums and guitar a lot, mostly because the other guys simply left. So there was no one available to record these parts. So I had to do it myself. But it turned out pretty good. So it's this idea of being stuck, being, you know, on the run, but being at the same time sort of stuck and limited. And being on the run, let's say, from the police, and just trying to live your life in a certain way. So the song, let's look at the lyrics, though. It says, stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever. Stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever. Never seeing no one nice again like you. Mama, you. If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away to a registered charity. All I need is a pint a day. So he's talking about his success. You know, he was successful in the Beatles. If I ever get out of here, I could just give it. If I ever leave this life, I could give everything away, all my money. I don't need much. I need a pint of beer a day. If I ever get out of here. Well, the rain exploded with a mighty crash as we fell into the sun. And the first one said to the second one there, I hope you're having fun. Band on the run, band on the run. And the jailer man and Sailor Sam were searching every one for the band on the run. Well, the Undertaker drew a heavy sigh. Now, the Undertaker, the guy who buries a dead person, right, drew a heavy sigh. Seeing no one else had come, and a bell was ringing in the village square for the rabbits on the sun. So it's pretty abstract here. So maybe he's talking about a hallucination or some sort of experience on drugs. I don't know. But he's talking about being, you know, he's alluding to drug use and being on the run from the police and not being allowed to live his life the way he wants. Band on the run, band on the run, and the jailer man and Sailor Sam were searching everyone for the band on the run. Well, the night was falling as the desert world began to settle down. In the town, they're searching for us everywhere, but we never will be found. Band on the run, band on the run, and the country judge who held a grudge will search forevermore for the band on the run. So yeah, they're looking for us. They'll be looking for us forever, and we're on the run. So running away from the authorities and just trying to live the way he wants. I guess that's what he's getting at in this song. It is a good song. It's a catchy song. Pegadizo, right? Catchy, you say. All right, there you go. So that is our music section for today. Let's take a moment and see what people are saying in response to the Twitter translation. Estábamos dormidos cuando entramos. Estábamos dormidos. Pablo G says, they were sleeping when we came in. Okay, they were sleeping. Carlos says, they were asleep when we entered. They were asleep. Yeah, estaban dormidos. They were asleep. One word, A-S-L-E-E-P. Joaquin said, when we went into. But if you say into, you have to say into what? We jumped into the water. We went into the room. We went into the pool. Right? If you use the preposition into, you have to, it's to imply motion, but you have to say what you're going into. Julian from Bogota said, I'd say they were slept. They were asleep is better. They were asleep when we came in, said Manuel. Okay. Peter says they were slept when we came into. Ooh, you can't say into. They were asleep or they were sleeping when we entered or when we got in. Okay, said Yolanda, that works. Juan says they were asleep when we came in. Very good. So it could be came in or go in, depending on if you're referring from the outside. If you're outside, you watch someone go into a room, going away from you but entering. Or if I'm in the studio and someone walks in, someone enters the studio, I could say they're coming in. Not going in, but they're coming into the studio because they're approaching me. Manolo says they were asleep when we entered. Very good. They were asleep when we came in, says Boro. Our friend Oninche, they were asleep when we entered. Have a great afternoon. A hug from the Basque Country. Thanks, Oninche. Same to you. They were asleep when we came in, said Paco. A lot of people writing in. I thank you for that. Thanks for your participation, everybody, with our Twitter translation. We're going to take a short break. 2 minutes, and we'll be back with the final half hour, so don't touch that dial.
Hay sonidos que despiertan la curiosidad. Estimulan tu cerebro, te llenan de energía. Frecuencias que te sorprenden, con la que aprenderás siempre algo nuevo. Con unas notas de ironía y humor. Con vuestra participación, por supuesto, siempre muy importante. Y un toque pianísimo para armonizar la tarde. The Sound of English, con David Guedel, de lunes a viernes a las 14 horas.
Ahora calienta un poco de aceite de girasol. That's it. Heat a little bit of sunflower oil in a frying pan, en una sartén. What if you don't have sunflower oil? Si no tienes aceite de girasol, puedes usar bien mantequilla o ghee, una grasa clarificada muy habitual en la cocina asiática. If you want to use olive oil, we recommend that you use a mild one.
Con Let's Cook te va a quedar un inglés rico, rico. Let's Cook es un libro de recetas para que aprendas inglés cocinando. Hemos mezclado muy bien la gramática con el vocabulario y las expresiones culinarias. Lo hemos dejado macerar durante